Today on the Music City Audible, the Titans have dropped their rivalry uniforms. We're going to take a look and react. They are beautiful, Justin. And also, we got presser clips from Sunday night that we haven't played yet that I really want to react to. So let's get into it right now. This is the Music City Audible. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast presented by Prize Picks. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, how you doing today?
Doing well. Excited to talk some Tennessee Titans football. The rivalry uniforms finally dropped, and I must say, you and I nailed it a couple of weeks ago when we had jersey expert Zach Cohen on, and we sort of went through all the different concepts and his sources and what we believed we knew at that time. We're going to talk about those, put them on screen, of course, and deliver our opinion. Pressers from Sunday after the game, Titans beating the Seahawks in week 2 of the preseason, some opinion and analysis, as you mentioned, and also the coordinators spoke on Tuesday morning as well. Gus Bradley, Bones Fossil, and Brian Daboll all had some interesting things to say while meeting with Titans media. We've got a jam-packed show for the Audible Army today on the Music City Audible.
That is right. Remember to like this video, drop a comment below, subscribe to the channel, and check out the MCA Community Discord. Become an MCA Premium member. Hit that join button on the YouTube page. It's $5.99 a month. You get access to the Discord. You get access to in-season Friday live streams. If you do the math, Justin, it's about $1.50 per bonus show that you get, if we assume we get 4 bonus shows a month. If they're trying to charge you $7.99, you're in the wrong place. Get off your phone, go to your desktop. It should only be $5.99. Do not let Apple upcharge you for the subscription, but check it out. The Discord has been popping off. Got some stuff from the Discord that we'll put into the show today even, so that's the benefit. Like, you get to chat with us, you get to chat with a level-headed Titans community that's not, sky is not falling in the Discord. It's a much more level-headed reality check analysis and comments from Titans fans there, so check it out if you haven't already. And Justin, we're going to dive into it today, starting, of course, with the new rivalry uniforms. Titans rolled them out. I guess there was like a leak on Tuesday morning. I expected this announcement or this stuff to come out maybe like this evening or in a more rolled out kind of way. And I don't know if the leak just inspired them to let's just post all the stuff we have, or if that was always the plan. But I love seeing it hit the timeline.
I noticed they posted it at 9 a.m. Central. So I feel it was probably pre-planned for 9 a.m.
That makes sense. But the uniforms are, after much speculation about potentially black uniforms, they are a very dark navy, a sort of a midnight blue kind of navy with these neon lettering numbers on the jersey. Different number font than what the actual new Titans jerseys have. And it says Music City across the front in that new script that was revealed. They do look a little bit black oil-ish, but they're clearly not black. This is the return, I think, the salvaging of the two-tone blue identity that has come to be known in Nashville since the Titans officially became the Titans back in 1999. But the biggest and most interesting and maybe the coolest part about it is the helmet being this Titans blue color. It's not white. It's not navy. It's like a Titans blue with sort of a inverted colorway Titans logo, where instead of the light blue in the logo background, it's the dark navy. Justin, I got to say, I absolutely love the uniforms.
Yeah, I love them as well. And like going back, like you and I, this is pretty close to what we expected, I think, right? Yep. Based on the episode that we did with Zach Cohen about a month ago or so. I was never buying the hype belief on black. I was always firm that these would be like a dark, deep navy, which is exactly what they are. We had some pretty good information regarding like the neon, right? So the numbers didn't totally shock me either. And the, you know, dripping the midnight oil, I think, as we said, like that sort of variation of a deep, dark navy with a little bit of black elements, as you mentioned, like that was my exact expectation. And that's essentially what we got. Didn't we even speculate? I think I asked Zach, what if they say Music City, like on the front?
Yeah, our our mock-up had Music City. I mean, we went off of a mock-up that we found on Twitter and turned it into a 3D version. It was Chad Fields, I believe, the Vols fan who tweets these concepts. He pretty much nailed it almost exactly down to the Music City, which we had heard would be the case, and Zach was in on that as well. And the only thing we got wrong was the color of the helmet. But even that, we said on that episode, that's why you got to listen to the Music City Audible every day, folks. Even that, we said on that episode that we weren't sure what the helmet color was going to be, and that Zach had heard some different things about what the helmet might be. So while it is surprising to see the baby blue or the light blue or the Titans blue, if you will, be the primary helmet color, it's also not that surprising because we knew it might be something different.
And I like going with something different. You've got the white helmet for the primary, like the home and the away, the rebrand. These rivalries, have fun with them. They're supposed to be different. That's why it's navy, right? Like the jersey itself, and that's why the helmet is a baby Titans blue, whatever you want to call it. But I absolutely love them. And I'll add this. It's too bad they don't have a primetime game this year. I think these would look really good at Nissan Stadium at night, right? Like I think it's something about the home game, primetime in Nashville, 8:15, 7:15, whatever time zone you're in. I think they'd look beautiful in a primetime game. So that's a bit of a shame, but it is just the whole, you know, the dripping the midnight oil, the dark navy. I think with a nighttime game aesthetic would really bring these out even more. But hey, they'll have to position themselves to win the division, get a primetime game in Week 18, and then make a, obviously they can't, but make a change to wear these in Week 18 with the division on the line. I love them, though.
Yeah, the Titans will wear these on Sunday, November 15th at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a Week 10 game. It's the game coming off the Titans bye week. It is a 12 p.m. Central kickoff. As you said, Titans don't have a night game this year, even unless they get flexed in Week 18. They do not have a night game, and that is the only date the Titans are scheduled to wear these uniforms, which is kind of a bummer. Like, almost every other team gets two games in their rivalries. The Titans only get one, but I don't know. They'll get to wear these more than just this year, which is the fun part of it, I guess.
And how bad are the Jags ones? They're terribly ugly. Oh, man, they're so bad. And we're not just saying that as guys who don't really like the Jags. They are objectively really bad. The pants are horrid. I've seen so many jokes with the, like, I think it was our, you know, Titans fan of the year, former Titans fan of the year, I believe, made like the Juicy Couture joke. They look like cheetah pants. Like, I've seen so many jokes on the timeline. They are so bad. By far the worst rivalry uniform of all belongs to Jacksonville. I hope I guess they wear them the same day. Like, they wear them when they play us.
That's the point of it. Yeah.
Ours are going to look so good and theirs are going to look so terrible.
And there you got a teal helmet. I'm with you. I think the Jags are fairly ugly. The Texans rolled theirs out, and they just look like they want to be what the Titans' new uniforms look like.
The Colts let it go. Apparently not. Pathetic.
No, they won't. The Colts' one looks pretty cool. I'll give them that. You know, the Titans won't play the Colts in their rivalries. They won't even play the Texans in the rivalries with the Texans wearing essentially their own version of Titans uniforms. That would have been a fun, just like, thing to talk about if that had happened. But yeah, they'll only wear them against the Jags that one game, Week 10. And this shot, Justin, which is a really cool looking shot, if you're listening to this on audio, go to YouTube, Music City Audible Podcast. This is a shot of Jeffrey Simmons in the full uniform. This actually, I came across this one. It came from the Discord. Shout out Thorsaurus in the Discord channel, which is why you got to be in there. Go ahead, sign up, become an MCA Premium member, and join our fun little community that we're building there. But I really love the clean look of this. I mean, the navy pants, the navy sleeve on Jeffrey Simmons, not the red sleeve in this uniform, with the lighter blue socks, the light blue helmet, the numbers really pop. I love the white line through the numbers to give it that like sort of neon light style, reminiscent of, they were calling it Broadway Nights. I think this is just a super clean look. They also added like a touch to the stripe that makes it appear like the guitar string inspired stripe, that it's vibrating, like music is playing in the Music City, which I think is also a really cool touch. So it's not the exact same stripe. It's evocative of the new stripe with the guitar strings down the middle, but they're like kind of, I don't know how to explain it. They're like vibrating, like a little blurry. Like, it's a nice touch.
I love them. And I love this full body shot of Jeffrey Simmons. Pause. he's got the aesthetic going already, eh? Like, this is probably what he wears on game day when he wears them. The gloves, the light blue, like everything, the cleats, the socks, everything is just perfect for this aesthetic. I imagine he put some thought into this and he didn't just throw it on. And this is probably exactly what he wears in week 10 against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think you're right, Justin. This is exactly what he's going to be wearing week 10. Again, I hate that it's a noon game, especially when it's like inspired by Broadway nights, but it is what it is. Maybe next season the Titans will get to wear them in primetime at some point. And Justin, you know, Titans have their last preseason game coming up on Friday. The NFL preseason, in my opinion, obviously, is the best time to make NFL season-long plays, and there's no better place for all your NFL picks than Prize Picks, America's number one sports pick app. And Justin, I'm going to run back a play that I threw out there yesterday because I really, really like this one, especially with the reporting I've seen coming out about Shedeur Sanders potentially getting on the field as early as week three, even with Deshaun Watson being named the Browns' starting quarterback. So I'm going with Shedeur Sanders, more than 6.5 regular season games started, and Amon-Ra St. Brown more than 9.5 receiving touchdowns. Can't do the Sanders play alone, so I'm pairing it with this Amon-Ra one, which I feel like is almost can't miss as long as he stays healthy. He's had double-digit touchdowns three seasons in a row. I see no reason why that stops. And so I'm making this play for the NFL season right now on Prize Picks.
I especially appreciate that Amon-Ra St. Brown projection. He's just the definition of consistency in Detroit. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Again, join an MCA by downloading Prize Picks app and use code CLNS and get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup.
Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. All right, we'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie? I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back. All right, Justin, I want to dive into some quotes here. I want to dissect. I'm going to read into this stuff way more than we should because obviously, you know, at the podium, they're not giving us all the answers that we want to hear. But I do think you can always read between the lines and find some interesting stuff. And I'm going to start off with sort of an evolution of a clip that we played last week on the show with Robert Saleh talking about keeping things vanilla. This to me, just like, I want to say it does a few things. Number one, it reiterates how unimportant the preseason is in terms of Robert Saleh has been direct about this. I'm not playing this clip right now. He said this last week before the preseason game, but what he's looking for, what defines success in the preseason is not finishing every offensive drive with a touchdown and finishing every defensive drive with a punt or a turnover. It's, do you know your assignment? Can you execute the base fundamentals? Can you make the right decisions? And we'll work on the technique. The technique will come. And I think the other reiterative point that I want to make here is that the technique will come potentially not in week one or week two or week three. You know, the data backs this up, but weeks one and two especially, the team that wins a turnover battle wins those games way more often than not. And that's true of almost every NFL game, but it ratchets up way up in weeks one and two when teams are still kind of feeling out what their best plays are going to be, what their, you know, most frequent packages and concepts are going to look like as they try to get comfortable in a new season. So it's really just about taking care of the ball. And the Titans first team offense has done that. Cam Ward does have a couple of near miss scares, but they haven't turned the ball over in their six drives. They have scored 10 points, which is less than you'd like. You want to see more points than that. But I do think it's important to point out that it's not, this isn't what the team is going to look like. This is not the playbook that they're going to run in the regular season. They're just working out the kinks. The most important stuff is the operation, the communication from the sideline to the players, the substitutions, changing personnel from defense to special teams to offense and all that. Like, that's what matters more than seeing the players execute the plays at a high level, because these plays aren't even the real plays. And Robert Saleh makes that very clear. If you want to comment on that, I'll let you before I play the clip. But it's just like, I don't know. I'm continuing to say this over and over again. The sky is falling mentality that has taken over the majority of the fan base irks me to my core. It makes me sick. It's just like, I wish I could fast forward the next 3 weeks and get to the regular season so we have real football to react to instead of pretending that the preseason is real and that we need to overreact to it. I don't know. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to play the clip, but I'll keep saying we don't know what we don't know. And I think there's been a clear message from the coaching staff down to the players at the podium that they're not really showing us what they think they're going to be, especially on offense. So try your best to reserve judgment until the regular season gets here. But let's get to the clip.
We're really not game planning. And there's different philosophies. Like, could Daboll move him around and deliberately try to get him the ball? Sure. But we're still going out there and running our base, the vanilla offense. I mean, we're barely motioning. We're normal spacing. We're not exactly making it very easy for our players to go execute. But at the same time, that's not what this is for. There'll be a time to game plan and scheme people open. But right now, it's just about going out, executing the base fundamentals of what the scheme is supposed to be, both in all three phases. And when it gets time to game plan and get people the rock, we'll get them the rock.
That specifically was about Carnell Tate when he was saying, like, not moving people around, time to get him the rock, they'll get him the rock. But the biggest thing that stands out to me there is we're not exactly making it easy on the players to execute. This is about, I said this yesterday, Justin, and this is another indicator of where the Titans are in their rebuild, which is not that far along. This is about right now in the preseason, like, can you go win a one-on-one matchup with no help from the scheme, with no help from the game plan? Can you just go beat the man lined up across from you? And I could argue that the Titans ones should be doing that against the Seahawks twos and the Niners twos more often than they have, no doubt about that. But they're also not trying to show anybody, the fans, the opposing teams that they're going to play this year, what they actually want to do on either side of the ball or on special teams for that matter. Shim Dike has been out for one punt return this preseason. And Bones Fossil said at the podium this morning that that was just to, like, you know, give him a rep, a live rep, catching a punt in a real game. And he fair caught it at the 5-yard line. It led to the 95-yard touchdown drive on the Titans' opening preseason possession. So, like, I just think that trying to extrapolate, this team's going to be bad. Carnell Tate is not going to be used as much as we thought. Like, fantasy heads are going crazy over the Wandale versus Tate usage right now. And I just can't emphasize enough how much we have allowed ourselves to be fooled by the preseason. And it's got to stop. It's just got to stop. That's where I'm at.
I mean, Robert Saleh, in that clip you played, straight up used the word vanilla to describe the offense of what they've shown you in the preseason. They're not game planning. Right? It's vanilla. Vanilla is the word we use to describe what offense looks like in the preseason. If the head coach is telling you, then I think it's a pretty good indication that they haven't shown you a lick of what they plan to be on offense. Brian Daboll today at the podium, I believe it was Easton Freeze, I recognize that glorious voice of his, asked, like, what do you want your identity to be, hang your hat on offense? And he didn't even really answer the question. He kind of said, we'll see, early on, like, just... They're not telling you or showing you, for that matter of fact, anything that they plan to be on offense. So again, relax, kick back. You got about 3 weeks. Not even, I don't think. Week one is coming up quick, and we know there's going to be kinks to work out. But week one will be a much better indicator of what they want to be on offense than anything you're seeing during the preseason.
Yeah, Daboll was like, we'll discover what our identity is as we start playing games and figuring out what we're good at and what we're not so good at. And we'll lean into the stuff that we're good at. And that's that's the whole point. And I think I'm going to play an answer from Cam Ward next from Sunday night that I think also communicates the same thing. I think Cam is almost like trying to contain his excitement for what he thinks the offense can actually be. And I we've talked about how Cam Ward has said 7-on-7 isn't real football. I'm just trying stuff to see what I can get away with and what I can't. I mean, if he feels that 7-on-7 isn't real football, I mean, the preseason is 11-on-11 in pads, full tackling, referees, game officials, play clock, all that stuff. It's as close to real football as you can get. But it's still not real football. And I don't think that the players, as much as we want them to take every single rep seriously, and of course they're like, they're trying their best on every play, don't get me wrong. Cam Ward even said before this last preseason game that things he wanted to work on was scramble drill with the receivers. And it makes me wonder if they're almost like, if he's getting out of the pocket a little bit early on purpose to give his guys a chance to work a scramble drill play, even if like they might have had something early in the play, especially on a 3rd and 8 or something. That might be a little too tinfoil hatty, but I do think, like, psychologically, I want to read a comment that we had on yesterday's show from Curtains-JY4CF, who said, psychological analysis is my favorite kind, and Cam's presser was the first time I've given in to being truly excited for the season. He appears to me to have the demeanor of a royal flush dealt while having to check the first time around the table to not tip the hand. Having to fake react to preseason game questions while knowing it was nowhere near how they plan to attack defenses is what I saw. Like, there's an elephant in the room that he doesn't want anyone to pay attention to. I may put a little money on the playoffs because I think he and Daboll are about to cook. Now, I'm going to push the pause button on playoffs. Playoffs? I don't know that they're going to the playoffs, but I do think that the offense is going to be at least a little better than what we've seen so far. And I think it's the type of offense that's going to get better as the season goes along, again, for all the reasons that we've just stated. But I do think there's a kernel of truth in what Curtains has pointed out here in terms of Cam Ward trying to, like, hide his excitement for what the offense is going to be. See if you can pick it up yourself in this answer.
Everything slowed down. We're finally at the point where, we're not going to be installing too much stuff. One thing about Coach Davis, he can go to walk through, he can make up a play in his head, and we'll run it right there and we'll execute it right there. So it's going to be nice to, really show what we really are about when the time comes. But I mean, it's exciting because, you know, you get to get reps on plays that, you know, you don't get in OTAs. So, you know, you really getting a feel of, you know, what he's getting a feel of what I really like and what I don't like. And then when the time comes, you know, we're going to do a lot of stuff that, you know, the players feel comfortable with.
I mean, I don't know. Am I reading too much into it, Justin? What do you think?
It's going to be nice to show everyone, you know, what we're really about is essentially what he said. And he said, we're getting preseason reps on plays that we didn't. Did I read that correct? We're getting reps in the preseason on plays we didn't run in OTAs or we haven't run since OTAs. Like, it's like they're clearly don't want to show anyone anything that they want to be. Now, listen, I don't want people to think this is cope, or, you know, I know that word gets thrown around a lot. Like, he's still allowed to hit an open receiver from the pocket in the preseason, and he's had a couple of those misses. That doesn't come down to, well, that's not what we are. You got to hit the throws, right? Like, there's some that have been non-negotiable that he's missed. That doesn't come down to, well, we're just not showing people what we are. So okay, that stuff still has to get corrected. Ball security still has to get corrected, right? And we've been talking about that since last year. He's got to take better care of the football. We haven't totally seen that in the preseason yet. With the near, you know, the worrisome intentional grounding and then the careless fumble near the sideline. Stuff like that could and should be better even in the preseason. But in terms of scheming things up and really what they want the identity to be on offense, you know, that's what I believe that we've, you know, quite frankly, we've got no idea right now as we head to week three of the preseason.
And another point on that, Joe, Justin, just on the accuracy stuff, like, it's also really hard for us to know, especially live in the moment, when Cam misses a throw, when Cam is off on his timing, and when the receiver is in the wrong spot. And on the one that's been harped on as the inaccurate throw from this past Sunday night game that just happened, the one to Carnell Tate, deep crosser over the middle, that looks like Cam Ward totally airmails him. There's a breakdown floating around on Twitter. I wish I could. I've retweeted it, so if you don't know how to find it, I don't know how to find it anymore, except to go to my own Twitter page and click reposts, which, by the way, Twitter reorganized like your own homepage. I hate it too. It's like, I want to see my whole feed in one thing, but now I have to click reposts. Anyway, I'll get used to it eventually. This guy did a breakdown of Cam Ward's game, trying to quell the over negative reaction that's happened. And he points out that Carnell Tate's initially taking his route at an angle up the field towards the 16-yard line. And right after Cam lets the ball fly, he cuts his route flat. He flattens it out and starts running towards the sideline. And the ball lands directly on the 16-yard line. Now, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into this if it hadn't been for Superhorn on Twitter, at Super_Horn, former Music City Miracles writer, was with us with Broadway. One of the smartest Titans football minds that breaks down stuff when he still has time that you can possibly find on Twitter. He put in our group chat that he, without watching this other breakdown, also thinks that Carnell Tate may have cut his route off too flat. Now, that's speculation. But then Brian Daboll goes to the podium this morning, and he's asked about the offense's inability to hit deep shots this preseason so far. Keep in mind, Cam Ward is, what, 0 for 7, I think, on pass attempts that traveled more than 10 air yards in the preseason. That's obviously an issue. If Carnell Tate catches the one on the sideline and Gunnar Helm catches the one on his sideline, then that's two more completions right there. But Brian Daboll's answer to this was, well, it's not all on Cam. He said directly, the receivers have to take the right angles, which could be a general statement about the downfield passing game, or it could be a fairly specific comment on one missed downfield throw that Carnell Tate may or may not have cut off too flat. So I'd much rather these guys have to work on miscommunications, making the wrong read midway through your route to adjust to whatever coverage you're seeing, being on the same page with those mid-route adjustments. That stuff is way easier to fix. You get in the film room and Cam says, Carnell, what did you see? Why you cut this route flat? And Carnell says, oh, well, this safety was deep here. I do think if Carnell Tate had kept his route going at that angle, it would have been a contested play because there was a safety back there and you had the Titans receiver running just like a go on the sideline carrying into that same part of the field. So I'm not sure that Cam made the right read on the play, but I think it was more of a miscommunication than an inaccuracy. And an inaccuracy is a concern because it's like, that's a hard thing to correct. A miscommunication at this point in the year is way less of a concern because it's an easy thing to sit down together with either just the two of them and the coaching staff or not with the coaching staff and say, what did we get wrong here? What do we need to do next time to not get it wrong? And so again, stop overreacting to every single negative play that happens. It's like if Cam doesn't go out and go 12 for 12 for 200 yards, there's going to be negative overreactions to the one missed play. So I just, again, I can't handle it.
It's true. And that throw is the one, you know, raised my hand. I initially filed away as an inaccurate miss. Like I talked about it on Monday. That's what it looked like live. But when you do see the clip from the end zone angle and whatnot, there, I have additional questions that I didn't have, you know, once we saw the play live. So I'd love to get a thorough, truthful answer. We'll probably never get it. But right. If it is a miscommunication, and you hope it's a miscommunication, like you said, that's what this time of year is for on the calendar. You're working those things out. And it really is the little details that so I got to fly in here. It really is the really those are the little details that kind of make the difference between hits and misses, you know, once the regular season comes. After the break, we got more Tennessee Titans football to discuss.
Welcome back. All right, Justin, I'm going to continue on the same theme we left off before the break there, especially when you say like the little details make the difference between making the play and not making the play. Cam was asked on Sunday night about what needs to improve on offense. Like, what's the biggest area that you guys are working to improve between now and September 13th when the regular season kicks off? And this is what he said. And I think this is so true in multiple ways. It really outlines just like how little the margins are, but like the slim difference between making a big play and having something that everybody's going on Twitter to complain about. Anyway, take a listen to what Cam said here.
I would say our biggest improvement is, you know, connecting on deep play. We only get a certain amount of, you know, shots that we get to take each and every game because the defenses are so good. So when we get the play downfield, you know, myself and the receivers, we have to make the play. So I need to throw them, you know, catchable ball. They're going to do their job by, you know, attacking and making the play. So I think that's what's left for us. And once we do that, you know, we'll be a pretty solid offense.
Connecting on the play. Make the play. That's really the difference. That's what it boils down to right now. I mean, if Carnell Tate catches that one fade towards the sideline and Gunnar Helm gets his feet inbounds, the mood coming out of that game is entirely different than what it has been for the past few days. So I totally agree with Cam Ward here. Just go make the play. And again, it's going to get easier on these guys to make the play when they're scheming around what the defense is doing, when they're, you know, when they have a goal with each play in mind to get a certain player the ball, to get a certain touch, to get it to an area of the field. Like, they're not doing any of that right now. I would like to see them have made the plays so far, but they're a young team that's learning a new system. And like you said, learning a new system doesn't excuse an inaccurate ball or a dropped pass or the inability to get your feet inbounds. But it's also the preseason, knocking off some of the rust, getting back into the speed and the flow of a real live game setting, and just go make the play. And if they go make the play, then everything looks different. Can they just start making the play in week one? Also, the other side of this is they've only had like 20 opportunities to make the play in each game, about when you talk about snap, total snap counts. And that, you know, there's run plays involved in there. There's the fourth and one type of play. There's situational stuff involved in that as well. So it's not even really 40 opportunities. In a real game, you're going to have 60 plays, 65 to 70 plays. Like, I think that that's why we take the sample size of practice and joint practice and say they've made a lot of plays in training camp because there's a lot more opportunities to make those plays. Whereas you're talking about the first three drives of a football game, the time of game where the offense is still sort of feeling out what the defense is doing. The play caller is still trying to get in a rhythm. The quarterback is fresh and not in that same rhythm. Like, give them a chance to go make these plays in the regular season, and then we can assess whether or not this team is going to be better or worse than what we expected.
I've always been a firm believer that the margins are very slim in the NFL.
Yes.
It's statistically proven. I mean, most NFL games are decided by one score, you know, within 7 points or so. So making the play, not making the play, it's, you know, it really is as simple as that. But it's also as important as can often be decisive in the outcome, right? Like winning the game and losing the game. So the margins are slim, but the stakes are high, right? Is probably the best way to describe it. And they've missed a couple of those opportunities in the preseason. They treat them as teachable moments, right? Hopefully, when week one comes, we're talking about how they made, you know, they converted those opportunities and they won the football game because of it. Now is the time to kind of get it right and work out those kinks again, whether it's just knocking off the rust, miscommunication, whatever it is, work on it, get better. And when week one comes, that's tough to say, make the play, and they'll win the football game and be 1-0, and we'll quickly forget about the preseason and move on and be excited for what comes next. So, but now's the time, right? And they've got a joint practice this week. They've got one final preseason game, final week of training camp. So they've got some good last opportunities here to continue working on whatever it is they feel they've got to work on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another aspect that the preseason does give you an important chance to kind of get back into the right mindset on is that in practice, if you mess up and don't make the play, if you feel like you were right there, you can say, hey, let's do that one more time. We're right there. Let's get it. Let's get it down. And you get like a mulligan opportunity almost in practice. And that happens all the time in an NFL practice. Whereas in a game, it's like, shoot, we missed the play. You got to get back into the mindset of like, we got one shot to make this play right now. This play that we're about to snap the ball on is all that matters in this moment. We got to go make this play. And so getting back into that mentality of like, it is crucial. Like you said, the stakes are high. We got to go make this play right now. I have one more clip I want to play, Justin, and then we can talk about some other takeaways from this morning's presser, some other stuff about like the preseason. I just have like a thing I want to get off my chest and say before we end this show. But here is my one criticism of Cam Ward from Sunday, and the one that everybody should have. Like if you're overreacting to his overall body of work so far, that's taking it too far. But if you are overreacting to ball security issues, that's the one place I think that it is valid to be concerned and critical of Cam so far. And more than anything is like, I want him to own that that's a big deal and not just write it off. And he didn't do that in this answer.
He dove for the ball, made a good play. Ended up losing a couple yards. That's the bad part about it. So I got to be better in, you know, my ball security standpoint when I'm outside the pocket. But he made a great play. We just got to be able to, you know, convert on the third down.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think that's the one. You teased it yesterday, and a couple of us, we heard it in the Sunday presser. I know, like, Robert Saleh agreed with him, right, essentially saying it was a heck of a play by the linebacker. But I do think the answer, and the play itself, like his demeanor on the play, a little too lackadaisical for my liking. And we got a comment. I can't remember if it was in the Discord or on the YouTube, one or the other, where someone said, kind of tired of saying, well, you know, ball security is correctable and yeah, easy thing to fix in the preseason. Like, okay, let's be a little harsh. It was an issue last year. And at some point, if it keeps happening during the regular season, we can't just keep saying, well, it's super correctable. It's not going to happen again. You know, like, it's got to stop happening, period. Right? Like, just full stop. And I think he's got a tendency to get a little lackadaisical. Now, is it because it's the preseason or whatever? We don't know. We're going to find out. But I'm not comfortable with it enough to sit here and say, well, it's the preseason. He's trying things out. And it was an issue last year. On that play, the habit didn't look like it's changed, right? I think that's the sticking point for me. So it's a habit that has to change. And we cannot see it during the regular season. And that answer didn't inspire a ton of confidence that he realizes, you know, the sense of urgency that he should be operating with in that department.
Like, he does take the blame and say, I got to be better with my ball security out of the pocket. But then let's see that. Let's see that come to fruition. Because my point here, and I said this yesterday, but I'll say it again in case anyone missed yesterday's show, is that while, yes, it was a very nice play, great hustle, great timing, and hitting the ball out of his hand by that linebacker, if you are carrying the ball in a way that it's protected, the linebacker doesn't have an opportunity to make an awesome play. So take away the opportunity for the linebackers to make great plays by protecting the ball better. And just like, there is nothing more important than ball security in the NFL. I just said this like 20 minutes ago. Yep. Not only are the week 1 and 2 games more often than not decided by the turnover margin, every NFL game is decided more often than not by the turnover margin. The turnover margin is the biggest indicator of wins and losses in football. So don't be loose with it. Like, it's more important that you don't turn the ball over, even just one. I will give up a handful of those explosive off-schedule, off-script improvisation magic plays if it means you're never turning the ball over. Because, like you said, it was an issue last year. Not only was it an issue, he led the league in fumbles last year. You can't lead the league in fumbles. You can't turn the ball over. And you just got to put yourself in a better position to where that's not even a possibility on the play. And I get it. Like, it's not as easy to run out of the pocket with two hands on the ball, holding it high and tight. And it might look a little funny when you're trying to, like, run and you're got the ball in your hands. Make it look funny. Protect the ball. Like, throw it out of bounds. I understand the need to want to make that big play, but that play was the play right before the Gunnar Helm play with it, where he failed to get his feet down in bounds on, like, I believe a 3rd and 8. And so when it's 3rd and 8 and you need to convert because it's like the second half and, or you're losing in the fourth quarter, like, that's when you can take the chance to get the big play out of it and maybe risk a disaster. Because at that point, if you have a disaster in that moment, yeah, you may end up losing, but you had to convert there anyway. You had to go for it. When it's second down and you don't have to have it in the first half or the first quarter of the game, just throw it out of bounds. Just protect the ball. It's way more important than creating a big explosive when you don't necessarily need it in that moment.
Live to fight another down. I think that's something that he's still mastering, as he's a quarterback who likes to go big play hunting. It's who he is right now. We'll see how much of that can be quote-unquote coached out of him this season. I'm going to run rapid fire, and I do mean rapid fire, on two things that interested me from this morning's presser. And to be blunt with the audience, the Audible Army, we're always honest. I didn't think there was a lot of interesting things said, you know, during this morning's presser by any of the coordinators. For me, I got one on Gus Bradley and one on special teams coordinator Bones Fossil. The Anthony Hill question, everyone's been asking it. We had questions in the Discord this morning. You guys wanted to hear us talk about it. When's he going to play? When's he going to supplant Cody Barton as an every down linebacker? Gus Bradley said essentially what I said on yesterday's show. Really tough to play linebacker in the NFL. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but full stop. They just don't trust him on a down by down basis yet. Like, this is going to be silly and maybe a silly example, but like, I talked about the margins being slim. Remember last year when the Rams had like a 4th and 1 in week 2 and it was a play to Puka Nacua that almost got stopped in the backfield. It was a turnover on downs, but I was a veteran safety in this case. But I think it was Xavier Woods who kind of took the wrong assignment or a bad angle. And instead of a turnover on downs, it was like a 60-yard touchdown run for Puka Nacua. That's what happens when rookie linebackers make the wrong read on run downs. And quite frankly, that's what they're afraid of right now. Like, yes, he's making the splash plays, but when he makes a mistake, it might go for a 60-yard touchdown, right? So it's like, they don't trust that part of his game, and rightfully so. I don't trust any rookie linebacker. It's not an Anthony Hill problem. It's an inexperienced rookie linebacker problem. And yes, I guess you could only get through it with reps, but mental reps are going to help too, and consistency on the practice field helps as well. They're just not there yet with him. I'm not surprised, and you know, call me boring, whatever. I get it, because I know rookie linebackers make those mistakes. TBD, he just got to continue earning their trust. Gus Bradley said, you've seen him make the splash plays. We're just looking for consistency. And until there is that consistency, I think you should get used to Cody Barton.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then I'll throw out one more rapid fire thing that I took away from this morning, which is that Julius Chestnut is making this roster. He is a 100% lock to make this roster. Not only is he a good special teams player, Bones Fossil said that he is one of the best special teams players he's ever coached, and talked about a point system that he uses to assess his special teams players, and said that Julius Chestnut has the best season score as a special teams player of any player he's ever had in 18 years of coordinating special teams. So if there was any thought that there was a competition for the last running back spot between him and Mullings and Michael Carter or Nick Singleton, like, Nick Singleton's making the team because he's a rookie and they believe in him and he's shown some juice when he's had, you know, when he's been healthy in camp. But the fourth running back spot is Julius Chestnut's to lose. And the other guys are competing to stick around on the practice squad. So that was my last big takeaway. Justin, I want to wrap up the show here. I think we're getting a little long. I know our audience is like, oh no, you're never long. Keep going. But we both have stuff to do. So in the interest of getting this episode out to the people, I'll give my final point, which is this. If preseason games weren't televised, the excitement in the fan base would be at an all-time high. And instead, because preseason games are televised, the panic and concern in the fan base is at an all-time high. If joint practices were televised, we would feel great about where the Titans team is at right now as a rebuilding squad that we're not expecting to win 9 or 10 or 11 games this year. So keep it all in perspective. Teams that win 7 games or 6 games make mistakes and give up long touchdowns and turn the ball over and fail to convert 4th downs. But they were pretty good when it was ones-on-ones in a joint practice with the defending Super Bowl champion. That matters a lot more than what you see on your television. Just because you don't see it on your television doesn't mean it doesn't matter. That's my final point, Justin. If you want, you're welcome to close out the show.
Preseason is a liar every single year, and yet we continue to get carried away with what happens in the preseason as if it actually matters. That's going to do it for today's special episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Tennessee Titans football. A lot of exciting stuff on deck for the Music City Audible podcast this week. They've got a joint practice with the Chicago Bears on Thursday. We'll be live on Friday as per usual. Then they play their preseason finale on Saturday. And no promises, but you and I are going to try to be live on Thursday during joint practice, because we did that last week with during the Seahawks joint practice, and you guys absolutely loved it. We're going to try to repeat that.
It depends on timing, because I do have a heed the call taping at 1 p.m. that day, but as long as the practice is early enough in the morning, we will be live.
If well, last not, one was started at, like, what, 10:45 Central, I think? Right. So if it's around the same time, hopefully we'll get some updates on the schedule, and we'll go from there. Join the Discord, premium Music City Audible Discord, available now on the YouTube channel. We are building the best, most level-headed Titans community on Discord. It is a very active chat. You're not going to get there and be bored. You can be talking Titans football with Graver and I all day long, essentially, and you'll get access to in-season live streams on Friday. Remember, Friday live streams will be shifting to a premium member experience only during the season. So head over to the YouTube and join in the Discord. Until tomorrow, when we're back talking more Titans football, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.